plant. You can see over the horizon with a special kind of radar, and at specific frequencies set up interference zones where you can heat and cool portions of the jet stream. Essentially take the atmosphere, dissect it into a matrix, and then heat and cool targeted portions within this atmosphere.
So, Scott, are we saying that the Ruskies had this back in the Cold War period and America knew about it?
They didn't know about it for the better part of 20 years that it was in operation. They were blindly fighting. Well, the USS Thresher, that submarine that went down in the Atlantic, was the first use of this technology. So it and we didn't know what was going on. And, I mean, it was not ready for the time of the blockade, the Cuban blockade, but shortly thereafter it came online and has been operational ever since and became dedicated, or at least a portion of the resources became dedicated to weather manipulation in the mid-70s. And
so,
that program has been ongoing for the better part of 30 years.
So look, the Soviet Union was a great big edifice that all came down, you know, sort of 1990, 1991, things changed. Soviet Union is now, they say, a free market, although there are people who have views about Putin who will say it's not necessarily the case. But, you know, it is said to be. Does this stuff still exist? And if it still exists, who's got it?
Well, any large government, especially one that values secrecy, will compartmentalize information, projects, agendas, and that's that. The UK is no different than the US and then the USSR, and the general military has not had access to this technology, or in large part aware of its existence.
Who has?
The KGB. The KGB, or what is the FSB now, Federal Security Bureau.
Well, we talked about Vladimir Putin. What was he head of?
Exactly.
The KGB.
So he's certainly aware of this and could ensure that when they had that May Day parade, that the weather cooperated, that the Pope's funeral.
You're kidding.
Guaranteed the weather would cooperate, and it did. So they have known about this and began these engineering projects across the U.S., across the U.K., and indeed you can't not affect one area's weather without basically affecting the whole system. It's all connected.
Because we're being told by all these people who tell us about global warming and all the people who are campaigning about what we're supposedly doing to the climate, that it is such a delicate ecological system. It's a balance, and if you throw that balance out of kilter, you have a problem.
And
here we are saying that somebody has deliberately thrown it all out of kilter.
It's out of balance. Whether it was deliberate or not, nevertheless, somebody pushed the button that began it. And that has resulted in a sense of chaos that we're finding in the climate systems around the world. Now, it may be so bad, and this planet has gone through such an incredible period of warming, that this weather control grid has to be in operation to keep the climate systems in some semblance of normalcy. That may be one of the reasons it goes on.
That's a conspiracy then. Isn't it? That's a conspiracy of people who are colluding together to keep using this thing to maintain the weather at some kind of stability.
Obviously.
They know about it and we don't.
Obviously. Yep. And one of the tools that I've come across to find out where and when it's being used are jet contrails.
Now, these are the things, and I've had some emails about this, and if you'd like to come on and ask Scott Stevens any questions about this stuff we're talking about now, or about the weather generally, because he knows, 08704-2020-20 is the number here at The Unexplained. But these contrails, these are the things that are the jet streams from aircraft, aren't they?
Right.
Which are different from chemtrails.
Right.
Or are they? Tell
right. It depends. And I would just prefer to use the term contrail because there are certain ones that once the governments realized what was happening with the atmosphere, with the sky, and that there was an electromagnetic technology capable of locally ionizing and heating and cooling the atmosphere, they needed surveillance of where it was happening, the intensity of what was happening, and what would be the downstream effects when you're trying to forecast weather. And so they needed to launch some kind of surveillance method, and hence the contrails. And these contrails, some of them last very, very long, and they're simply there to make these EM signatures in the skies visible. And so if you stand out on a day that begins beautiful blue skies and then gets progressively hazier with just a thin cirrus overcast, and sometimes it ends up just a clumpy, ugly, yellowy, or not yellowy, but a pale blue mix, that is this project at work. And then you know that there is this EM technology working on the atmosphere. Otherwise, these planes wouldn't be in existence.
Scott, is somebody doing that to our weather here in the UK? Or is it just a phenomenon between, you know, America and those people who are or were against America?
It happens everywhere that the Western powers are allowed to fly. Any government that who allows, basically is part of NATO or probably the EU, is aware of the program, is aware of these energy-based technologies and these weapons platforms, and allows these planes to fly because their military, their arm of that government, needs to know what's happening just as well as the U.S. or the U.K.
So at this point, let's just put the pea in the pod and be very clear about it. Who is using this technology of EM weaponry, EM equipment, to alter the weather?
There are upwards of 10 nations that are playing in the skies. 10 nations have this capability.
Can we name those 10 nations? Who do they include?
We can name the five big ones.
Okay.
And that's the former Soviet Union, and they lease a portion of their weapons platforms out to Japanese business interests. Lease it for $1 billion a year.
Why would they want to do that?
Make money.
So the Japanese business interests know about this technology, they've bought into it, and they say, we're going to do X, Y, or Z, and we want a nice day for it.
And exactly. And then you can go in and affect or steer hurricanes over oil-producing areas, like what is happening in the States last year and presently with Hurricane Katrina. So you can play the oil futures. You can send frosts deep into growing country and then play orange juice futures or coffee futures. If you can spend $1 billion and make $30 billion in the markets, it's a wise investment.
It's a great conspiracy theory. How do you know it's happening? Apart from the evidence that you see, have you had anybody say, look, I was working in a secret program, Scott Stevens, and you need to know that everything you said is right?
I have had those emails, yes. I have had those emails. And the other option is that you can't simply look in the sky and know that these clouds would not naturally make these shapes, would not naturally be found in squares, in intersected grids with circles punched out of them. There's an incredible symmetry that I've got on my website, weatherwars.info, that will display some of those satellite images. And it's once we get the weather people to begin to look at the details within the clouds and how they're formed, and the satellite imagery, like me, I got sick the day I realized the extent of what was happening. My feeling was that it was occurring with the larger events, that it was very localized.
But hey, Scott, at the same time, you're still working as a TV weather guy.
Oh, yeah. I've got to pay the bills somehow.
And what are your... I've got to ask you this. What do your bosses at the TV station think of this other stuff that you do?
This has been a six-year research project for me. And I have not been quiet about it at all, because it affects each and every one of us, whether you're a farmer or a golfer or a pilot. I mean, this affects all of us.
Is it more important than the phenomenon of global warming that the politicians are telling us is something that we need to address? Is it more important than that?
Howard, you can't separate the two. You can't separate the two, because the big spike that came in global warming began in the mid-70s, and that was the time that this operation went nearly full-time. So we don't have a natural baseline to judge the true trend of the warming that is happening across this planet. We don't know. We simply don't know. That's been obscured by the deployment of this weapon. And that's really sad. Because you don't know where you are in the game. If we're very near the end and the warming has been too great, or if it's just beginning and the planet can take another 2 or 3 or 4 degrees Celsius. We don't know.
What can we do about it then?
What do we do about it?
Yeah. Apart from you coming on radio stations like this, and this is going to be the first that an awful lot of people in the UK will have heard of anything like this.
Well, what we need to do is bring this technology into the public forum. We need to know what it's being doing, who's doing it, how much they're doing it, and then turn it off for a time so we can get a baseline of how this planet will react without the ionosphere and being pumped full of electricity.
So if you turn it off, you can see what happens when you haven't got it. Scott Stevens. Across the UK, Scott Stevens is in America. He's a weatherman. And I know there was a song that went, what is it? Michael Fish is a weatherman. Or is it John Ketley is a weatherman, so is Michael Fish. But Scott Stevens is a weatherman, but he also does something else. Because he looks into one of the most fascinating conspiracy theories that I've ever heard. And that is the theory that electromagnetically, 10 nations are at the moment and have been for some time manipulating our weather. Now, Scott, we are saying that we're in a situation now that we have to do something about.
Simply, we need to... Awareness is the first step. Public awareness is the very, very first step. And then that will develop the groundswell, the demand that there's accountability within governments to bring this to the table. So instead of using this technology for profit, for acts of terrorism, that it can be done to end droughts, prevent the flooding, manage forest fires, or at least return the climate system to some semblance of normalcy.
Well, the first thought in my head, Scott, is that if a bunch of Japanese businessmen, as you said, buy into this technology or lease it to give themselves nice days to make things happen and make money, that is immoral in a way, because we really ought to be using this technology, if it exists, to stop famine in Africa and all the rest of it.
I agree. This world could feed the hungry if it simply chose to do so. And we don't.
We saying, let's make it very, very clear, are we saying that politicians like our own government know about this, know about its potential, know what it's being used for now, know what it could be used for in the future, and are not doing anything about it?
No, they're doing something about it. They're just not telling us that they are.
What are they doing about it?
Well, it becomes an electromagnetic war happening in the skies. You see a large storm approaching from the west coast, and they'll deploy energy bursts that try to disrupt the flow, the ionic flow within these showers, these thunderstorms.
What about Hurricane Katrina? Now, I was reporting Hurricane Katrina yesterday. It was quite powerful. A lot of people had to move out of their homes. Power, I think, was cut to 1 million Floridians because of it. It's getting stronger, I understand, tonight. It's going to come back and smack Louisiana on Monday, they say. You know this better than I do.
It's on its way to New Orleans.
Okay, well,
it's on its way to New Orleans.
Now, that has been a problem in the past, hasn't it? Because these things in the past have headed towards New Orleans, but they've veered either up or down and missed the city.
And also, look at the economic impact of an event like this. You continue to stimulate an economy, although that happens out of the insurance company's coffers. You can, jumpstart the economy. If you have disaster, basically you plow it over and you have to rebuild. And that happens. That may have been partially the reason that Florida was targeted so many times. Now, Katrina, the center of this storm, the eye, rolled over the National Hurricane Center in Miami, the Tropical Prediction Center. The eye passed over the storm, steered directly overhead. That's a message. That's a message. Whether our guys got it or not, that's to be debated. But that just describes the potential that they can take these storms exactly where they want them to go. And you ionize and basically create the shape, electrically create the shape of a hurricane, the moisture will be attracted to that electromagnetic shape, and you keep it whipping, and the thing forms. It's just there.
But who would want it if you can manipulate this Katrina that is, has done damage already and might do some more damage at the beginning of next week? Why would you want it to do damage? Why wouldn't you use your technology to spin it out back into the Caribbean or wherever?
Then it comes back to the playbook that these guys are following, and that is above my pay grade, buddy. seriously, you almost have to wait till we do a post-mortem and to see how it plays out, to see who won that particular battle. We don't know yet. We don't know yet. And that's why there has to be the round table and everybody sitting at it who has their finger in this pie. And we...
So when you saw Hurricane Katrina, my first thought, there I am sitting yesterday on my news desk and I read all this stuff about Hurricane Katrina. I knew earlier in the week, because I read once on the internet from America, that it was Tropical Storm Katrina and they were worried about it. But yesterday I just thought, here's another hurricane and isn't that sad, and it's all to do with global warming, but there's not a whole lot we can do about it. You're saying, actually, this is part of something much bigger.
Oh, it has nothing to do with global warming. All the global warming does is keep the oceans a few degrees warmer, and hence that vapor that comes off the oceans is available for the storm, and so you'll end up with greater rainfall totals, but it has nothing to do with the intensity of the storm.
None. This man is called Scott Stevens. If you'd like to talk with him about anything to do with the weather, 08704 20 20 20. Where we are at the moment is that Scott Stevens says the weather is being electromagnetically manipulated. Now, Scott, I did some research yesterday and today into all of this, and I keyed a few things into the internet like you do, and I kept coming up with one word. It's a word I hadn't seen before, but it had heard spoken. I'd never seen it spelled. And that word was scalar, S-C-A-L-A-R.
Yep.
That's what these things are, scalar weapons?
That's what these things are. And you take a Hertzian electromagnetic wave, flip it to it so it's longitudinal, like sound waves, and you can pass this energy through the planet. And what they'll do is basically set up a reservoir of standing waves within the planet, and then use scalar interferometers or set up interference zones within these standing waves, and then the energy appears from space-time. And then that's where the energy is there to heat a portion of the jet stream, or say a bound portion of the jet stream, and you can steer it in certain directions.
So how did we get Hurricane Katrina? Was it created? Was it actually created? Was it stimulated? Yeah. What's happened?
The full genesis was artificial. The full genesis. And it's been that way for years, Howard.
Now, when you stand there on television, what city are you on TV, by the way? I should know this.
Pocatello, Idaho.
Okay, when you stand there on TV with your charts behind you, I love American weather forecasts. You can't go on there and say this, can you? You just have to say, well, Hurricane Katrina is giving our friends down in Florida a bit of a battering now. It's going to be okay come the end of next week. You can't say, and by the way, this thing was generated.
No, but what I can do is take video of unusual things in the sky and share that with my viewers. I can take a look at the National Hurricane Center's forecast for Katrina and know that their errors are large, and because we know these things can be steered, give the viewers a better idea of where the storm will actually.
So it's heading towards New Orleans, which I didn't know was heading towards New Orleans. Presumably, if somebody somewhere, and let's try and get some handle on who this might be, wanted to steer it away from New Orleans, they could.
They could. What they would more likely do is disrupt the flow of the hurricane. It's like a spinning top, and it doesn't take too much of a disturbance to begin to weaken it from a Category 4 or 5, which it will likely be before the next 24 hours is up, to a Category 1 or 2.
And so why doesn't Jeb Bush, the governor of Florida, or George W. Bush say, okay, guys, push the button and let's make this thing go somewhere else?
Oh, I'm sure that they're hearing a lot from Jeb now. You know, Jeb, I don't believe, was aware of this technology and what its capabilities were until we had the Sumatran earthquake last year.
And you think that's to do with this?
You can slowly deposit this energy into crusts, into crustal slip zones. And if you heat it, you'll quickly, I mean, dynamically pulsing these crusts, you can create earthquakes.
And we've had earthquakes, well, all over the shop this year, it seems. And I've been, you know, reporting them as you do, and just remembering them as you do. And, you know, starting with the terrible tsunami event at the beginning of this year, end of last year.
Right.
And all the other things like the Japan earthquake that happened, and we've even had a small one this week in Cornwall, in the UK. It was a 3.1, I think.
There are clues as to which ones are artificial and which ones are not.
What are those clues?
And that comes partially from infrasound that can be heard in the zones, in the areas where this energy is slowly being deposited. You can also look at the specific depths that the quakes happen. 5 kilometer, 10 kilometer, 50 kilometer, but specifically the 5 and 10 kilometer quakes are suspicious. So you again, it's a post-mortem thing. You look at what happened. Yes, it has this signal, it has this characteristic and this characteristic. So there is a high probability that this event, this geophysical event, was caused by some nation's portfolio of weapons.
The tsunami and the, you know, earth movements that caused that tsunami, which were below the ocean, and we all saw the consequences of all those people who died terribly, including quite a few people from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Was this thing created to be that, or was it just because somebody was, as we say in the UK, mucking around with this weapon, this equipment, and that's what happened?
I don't care if you're mucking around with it or not. The decision was made to hit the fire button. And we'll end up with three kinds of events. Fully natural, we'll have intentional accidents, quote-unquote accidents, and then we'll have unintentional accidents, or basically blowback from playing with a technology that you have not yet perfected.
So who do we think, if somebody somewhere contributed to what happened at the end of last year on Boxing Day for us here, December 26th?
I would not be surprised at all if that was a U.S.-led event, the Sumatran quake. Would not surprise me at all. There was a super-secret sub that was wandering around down there, and they said it ran into ground, but I don't know how you have these billion-dollar subs accidentally run into ground and have the front end of it hanging off, you know, by a few bolts. But and of course, when they had to bring the sub out of the ground, it was all draped in tarps because it was classified technology at the front of that sub.
This is this either makes it sound like the U.S. government in this instance is playing around with a technology it does not understand, or it understands it only too well and deliberately did something that had terrible consequences.
And the U.S. is 20 years behind those that originated this technology.
So we come to the KGB. You told us the KGB are the people who are the prime movers with this technology.
And an incredible social experiment happened because you had this disaster, this tsunami, affecting 11 different nations, different cultures. And all of these had to then begin the rebuilding process, which then consumes their foreign reserve of dollars. And we all know how the dollar is teetering, you know, on a collapse.
So hold on, I've never in a zillion million years would have thought of this. So if you engineer an event like that, you make it happen. It has economic consequences that help you in the U.S.
Exactly. You have to think beyond the obvious effects. And remember, this world is grossly overpopulated. This planet is doing all she can to support those of us that are here.
Well, look, here comes another theory. There is a conspiracy theory about the move towards global government that an awful lot of people talk about. Mm-hmm. A lot of conspiracy theorists talk about.
That can't happen until we have an economic collapse.
Exactly, and hand in glove with that is thinning the population down, mm-hmm. getting rid of an awful lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get control of the economy and you get control of the people.
And Howard, who then gets the blame?
Well, who does?
God. Because these are natural disasters. And so nobody will look at their own governments for engineering these kind of events. It's all blamed on God. Oh, woe is me. Why does this happen to me? And, well, it happens to you because we elect idiots. People who do not have your highest and best good at their agenda. It's not about the little people. It's not about the common man. It's about those who have power and money and only want more of it.
Just as we get set to take another little bit of a break here, some time out, what would be your 25-second argument to somebody who said, you've read too many conspiracy novels, Scott Stevens. Go back to doing your TV weather forecasts and just tell it like it is.
I would simply say, stick your head back in the sand and have fun. You know, once you've pulled your head out of the sand and begin to look far and wide at all that's happening, there are few other conclusions. I mean, there's always a connection. Everything is connected one way or another. Whether that's conspiracy or not, that's too bad. I mean, they've really given the investigation, they've branded it a conspiracy. I mean, and there's a reason why they don't want us looking into these things. There are reasons why. And they're not done with it yet.
This man's name is Scott Stevens. He is a weather forecaster, but also has a fascinating take on the way that our weather. And not only that, the Earth's crust itself is perhaps being manipulated electromagnetically by various forces. If you have some thoughts, there's much for us to talk about, too. One of the things that I've heard you talk about is a thing called HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. Now, I'm not entirely sure what it is, but I think it ties into everything that we've just been talking about. What is it?
Well, the HAARP, the acronym stands for High Altitude Active Auroral Research Program. And it's simply a test bed of technology to see what can be done to the upper atmosphere, the ionosphere in particular.
Is this the same stuff we've just been talking about?
It's very similar, very similar. I believe HAARP is a fully public project and that the big guns that we're developing are nowhere to be seen. I mean, they're very, very, very well hidden. And HAARP is just basically the public test bed. Yes, we're trying to do these things. We can create Aurora. We can bounce these specific microwave signatures off of satellite space and do ground penetrating radar and begin to search underground, very deep underground, for things. Communication with sub at great depth using ELF frequencies. So it's an incredible tool that's out there for public consumption.
Well, whenever I've heard it talked about, I've heard people say HAARP is being used for purposes other than the purpose that, you know, is advertised. Mm-hmm. And I always thought of HAARP whenever I thought about it, and I don't fully, you know, I don't know that much about it, but as you said, I thought it was a way of using extra low frequencies beyond the frequencies that we can hear to communicate with submarines, because that's the only way you can reach them.
And I'm sure it's capable of doing that, but you don't spend the kind of money that they are, the kind of research they're doing, and end up with just one array. You're going to build others, as you believe. They have discovered it is a fraction of what it is capable of doing as more ingenious and imaginative minds join the project. And when you have China, the Soviet Union, Russia, the UK, France, Brazil, and whoever, Israel, playing with these things, it becomes like little boys sitting around a rabbit hole with a BB gun. And then somebody says, well, this isn't much fun, and that brings a howitzer. It's overkill. It's simply overkill.
Now look, the way that you describe it, it is a bunch of nations who are playing with a thing, but doing it to some extent in collusion.
Mm-hmm.
What you said, that Israel was involved in this. Now, you know how unstable the Middle East is.
Right.
If another Middle Eastern nation got it and decided to use it against Israel, and then Israel decided to use it back, you know, we're talking about something that has the potential to be even worse than a nuclear strike, are we?
Exactly. If it were used unwisely and at power settings that would not be healthy, you can do serious damage to the crust of this planet.
Where is this stuff based? Because, you know, these days they tell us we can see everything from space and everything is permanently monitored. You know, even the little flat that I live in, little apartment that I live in southwest London, they can see it from space. So if they can see my little apartment from space, why can't they see these things?
Oh, I'm sure they can. I'm sure they can. Unless they are building them underground. And there is always the talk of these large cities underground. Whether they're here in the States or elsewhere, I don't think it really matters. I mean, if you had 50 acres open, you could build one of these antennas, you know, with upwards of 512 antennas. You know, it's just, it's frightening what they've been able to get away with for as long as they have been able to get away with, and using it in plain sight without us acknowledging or recognizing what is happening.
Now, electromagnetism can affect people in all sorts of ways. They say, well, it's proven, isn't it, that we are all affected by the moon, because we are, you know, the tides are affected by the moon, our bodies are made up of water mainly, so we're affected by the moon. So if this stuff is being used, then is it making people sick?
It has in the past. There was a period of time, I believe, in either 75 or 76, in Eugene, Oregon, out on the western U.S., where there was a constant weak EM signature delivered to that location, and the suicides.
Who did that?
It had to be the Soviet Union. It had to be. And it was a test. It was a ping, just to see if our government was smart enough, open-minded enough to figure out what was happening.
And as far as you know, did the government figure out what happened there?
Not right away. It took them some time. It was a question. It was curious. It made a little bit of news. But
and
I don't.
When
think
was
they,
this again, Scott?
This was Eugene, Oregon.
When was it?
In the mid-70s.
And there was a spike of suicides there.
There were suicides, and there was this constant microwave energy that was being bombarded over this community. That happened at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow, where the turnover of the staff was just unrelenting. The sickness and the frustration and the migraines.
Now, that I have heard about. I have heard about the fact that somebody was targeting something at that, but I thought that was just, you know, microwave radiation, standard microwave radiation. And if you point that at people, just like they complain about mobile phone masts in the UK, you point that at people close enough and powerfully enough, they get ill.
Right. Well, our body is runs at a very low current as you interface the soul with the DNA of the body itself. And you can superimpose feelings. You can superimpose signals on an individual's frequency that they operate on and simulate pain, euphoria. You can dump these feelings along basically this microwave carrier signal and focus them at people and get a physiological response. It's amazing.
And is this stuff actually being done now? You say it was done once in the 70s and there was a suicide spike, as you said, and that can be documented. Is this stuff being done now?
I would be surprised if it weren't being done now. I would really be surprised, especially with so many entities capable of doing it. I would really be surprised if one of them wasn't doing it at any given time.
Now let's build, because this is going to sound outlandish to a lot of people, and yet there's a core of it that I don't know what you think, but it makes a certain amount of sense to me. Maybe I'm mad, I don't know, but it does. Let's add something else into the mix here. We've talked on this show an awful lot with a lot of people about UFOs and extraterrestrials and back-engineered technology from spacecraft that the American government knows about. Is that something to do with this? Or is that a step too far? Tell me.
It may be a step too far, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you couldn't use these directed energy weapons as some kind of Earth-based defense against who knows what. You know, the universe, I fully believe, is full of life. I mean, the meaning of life is experience.
Well, if the universe is full of life, then that life might be more advanced than we are, as it's often been said. They might well have weaponry like this or abilities like this to use electromagnetism, and, you know, if they wanted to do us harm, great way to do it.
Or maybe they're so advanced that they don't need or use weaponry at all. And it's only those that are keeping Earth under quarantine that do use the weapons.
Now, Scott Stevens, having set out what you set out, and it's all to be read on your website, which is weatherwars.info, that's weatherwars.info, what happens next? What would you like ordinary people in the UK, the US, around the world to do?
First of all, notice the weather. Notice the clouds, how they form, the behavior of the weather as compared to what your parents or grandparents were used to. That's the first step, is the acknowledgement inside yourself that there have been changes. The next step is, again, it's going to be a personal acknowledgement that somebody is responsible for these actions. And once we get to that step and realize that we need accountability and we can't blame it on some deity for the weather or even the natural process of the earth, because those have certainly been overridden, then I think the next step is demanding accountability from elected representatives.
And do you believe that all this stuff is documented? Because we now have freedom of information laws, and from the beginning of this year we've got enhanced freedom of information laws here in the UK. So surely, if this stuff has been done over the years, there are going to be papers that we can see.
True. And they are there. And we're going to end up dealing with corporate entities who have filed the patents, licensed the technology, and
so they're going to hide behind commercial secrecy.
Always. They're always hiding behind commercial secrecy. Well, the big step, though, is just getting the public aware of it and then educating our elected representatives, because it's over their heads.
Now, you're a weatherman, and, you know, most weathermen and women that I've met, well, all of them are responsible people who have a scientific background, right? What would you say to people who would say to you, by saying all this stuff about how our weather's being messed with, you're really irresponsible, and you're really irresponsible because here are our governments trying to get us to cut down on our emissions of CO2 and all the rest of it to save the planet, and you're saying forget that because we've messed around with the weather electromagnetically, that's the real story, and all the rest of it is a smokescreen?
And that's exactly what I'd say.
But isn't that irresponsible, because it means that, you know, people who drive gas-guzzling cars are going to keep doing it, people who burn too much electricity, people like me who leave their TV on standby and burn power, we're just going to keep doing it, because from what you say, there's no point in doing anything else.
There isn't. There simply isn't. And it's going to take some time before that realization becomes more widespread. But an awareness of the changes in the weather, cloud shapes that are not right, because they can't hide that from us. They can't hide it. And that's why I haven't had the Black Suburban show up, because they can't hide what they're doing. It's in plain sight.
So in other words, nobody's trying to shut you up?
Not at all. I mean, they can't. I mean, you could look overhead, you could see these planes leaving these thick, ugly trails, so they can see who is doing what to their weather overhead.
It's almost like if you've got, I don't know, if you've got, say, the imprint of somebody's signature on a piece of paper underneath the paper that they signed.
Mm-hmm.
If you put powder on top of it, it'll show up the signature.
Yep.
And
yep,
that's what they're doing with these chemtrails.
They're making what is invisible visible.
Tell me very, very quickly, we've only got 2 minutes left, but you also talk about something that I've never heard of, and I found this fascinating. I don't know what you think, but we know about global warming. What about global dimming?
That's curious. And I wonder if it isn't a function of all of the materials that these planes have been introduced, that have been introducing into our skies.
But you're saying that light levels are going down.
I'm not going to go either way with that, Howard. I really am not, because I have not done, and I haven't done that research to say for sure. It's just that there's published that there is global dimming. Now, there are other things that are happening at the sun that I think supersede dimming or brightening.
And you've done an awful lot of research about the sun. I don't know if you can sum that up in a minute, but
that,
give it a shot.
There are typical cycles that have been broken. How that plays on planet Earth, I think when we do a full postmortem on our global warming, a lot of it's going to point back to the sun and the extra energy that is just washing across every single planet in the solar system.
Because there are people who say, and we haven't talked about it on this show yet, and we need to, that some stuff is going on the sun that is going to have serious consequences for all of us. I keep reading about these, what do they call them, X-class flares from the sun, mm-hmm, affecting the Earth electromagnetically.
And if you look at Mayan prophecy going back a long time, they talk about the genesis of a blue star, that our sun may be shifting from a yellow-white star to a blue-white star.
But then we have a problem.
Then we have a problem.
Scott Stevens, I've found this whole thing fascinating. Your website is weatherwars.info, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's it.
And what do we find there?
You find examples of these unusual clouds. We've added videos of these aircraft flying through the skies and investigating these scalar electromagnetic signatures, and time-lapse photography of that happening. There's a lot more that I've got to get up on the site. It's just a function of there are not enough hours in the day.
True enough. Scott Stevens, listen, thank you so much. I've thought...
...are intentionally spraying chemicals on us out of high-altitude jet planes. The amazing claim being made by a number of internet websites. Chemtrails, as they're called, are alleged to be a result of a 1994 US plan to seed the atmosphere with reflective aluminium oxide in an attempt to reduce global warming. Other sources suggest that they're actually to do with a top-secret experimental military radio system. Michael Irving from Ramsey contacted Mant Radio to express his concern and says that chemtrails could be responsible for many modern ailments.
Various countries around the world, people are noticing that the effluent of planes, the contrail, is not disappearing like it used to, but is lingering in the sky, falling in altitude, and then you get a crisscross of what we used to call contrails, which shouldn't happen because contrails are meant to be ice crystals and they're meant to evaporate, so something is coming down to ground level. People have noticed the sort of whitish deposits on their cars. In America, people are looking at that and they're saying that whitish deposit is a chemical substance.
Has it actually been analysed?
There's a lot of analysis that talks about aluminium and barium, neither of which are, you know, we gave up aluminium pounds a long time ago, but apparently we're all breathing it in now. And barium is not a good substance to be breathing in.
The theory is that somebody is spreading these chemtrails on purpose.
There are many ideas. One idea is it's a mass inoculation that the government in America are doing the people a favour.
And you think that this might be linked with increases in things like respiratory conditions, pneumonia, influenza, viruses and allergies?
Yes. Well, the first spraying was noticed in California around about 91, 92. I think possibly there was a similar effect in England. And can I mention that there's another aspect to this, that the quality of jet fuel around about 10 years ago was allowed to degrade to include a pesticide type content that had previously been sort of banned. So it might be this pesticide thing, the jet fuel that's having a bad effect, or because there's a lot of evidence that there is a particular chemical substance that's actually being sprayed from planes, and there's a loss of energy, vitality associated with that. You know, you're always trying to get your immune system going, trying to get a better state of health, and it never seems to clear up. And I think there are more conditions now of allergy, pneumonia, viruses, flu, sensitivity of skin, eyes, sometimes when you come in.
I can't imagine any reason that any government, and I assume it would be at governmental level, would do this, but do you think that maybe it's something to do with global warming and trying to control the weather?
I've just seen so much evidence that something is coming from planes that's not good for us, and it should be stopped.
So, do we need to worry here in the Isle of Man? Type chemtrails into your web search engine. Take a look at the huge number of sites on the internet.